الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, when a parent picks up his child or her child and then throws that child up into the air, playing with the child. But for that moment when the child is in mid-air, it experiences anxiety. And then it falls back into the hands of its parent, into the safe hands of its parent. And then the child begins to laugh, and the child is happy. The child enjoys comfort. This one moment of anxiety that this child experiences in mid-air, after leaving the hands of its parent, and then falling back into the hands of its parent, this one moment of anxiety is likened to our life in this world. We have come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and into this moment of this world only to return to the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. This is the shortness of this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, Allah who has created this world and all the things in this world, Allah himself speaks about this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut, that every soul shall taste mort and death. Nobody can avert that. Everybody will experience mort. And Allah says, وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. What a beautiful, simple message, but profound message. Allah says, every one of you will be given his full reward on the day of Qiyamah. Whatever good deeds we do in this world, in this one moment, as though we are suspended in mid-air, the reward of which we will be receiving by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then declares, فَمَنْ زُحْزِهَ عَنِ النَّارُ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَاسْ. On the day of Qiyamah, after receiving our rewards, whosoever is kept away from hellfire and he is admitted and given entrance into paradise, then Allah says, فَقَدْ فَاز. Then this person has really attained success. Immediately after that, Allah reminds us, again the example I quoted in the beginning of the child, where the parent throws up into mid-air, and that moment of anxiety the child experiences, that one moment, Allah says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. This entire worldly life, this one moment that you are experiencing compared to the akhirat, are only goods of deception. It is just dhoka. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi to illustrate this example of dunya and akhirat, he gives an example of a person in the jungle, walking in the jungle, and suddenly he hears behind him the roaring of a lion. And he sees now that this lion is going to chase him. So he flees for his life. He runs very, very fast. He manages to see a well, jumps into this well, and he clings onto a rope in this well. And there comes this lion with its face just above the well, roaring at him. But he holds on to this rope for support. But as he looks down, he sees a huge python with its mouth gaping wide, ready to devour him as he falls down. And then he sees a black mouse and a white mouse chewing onto this rope. And as all this is taking place, the lion, the python, the two mice, suddenly he happens to spot a honeycomb. And he sees his honey trickling down. So he sticks his finger into this honeycomb and he begins to lick this honey. This honey was extremely sweet. Honey that he never tasted in his life before. He begins to enjoy this honey. He becomes so consumed, so engrossed, so absorbed, that he forgets about the lion, he forgets about the snake, and about the mice that are busy chewing onto this rope. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says, this is just an example. This lion is akin to malakul maut, or death that is coming. Death is pursuing us all the time. And the snake is the qabr that which each one of us will be put into, waiting for us to come into it. The black mouse, the night. The white mouse, the day. Days are passing swiftly, rapidly. One Jumu'ah, the next Jumu'ah already here. Half the year almost going to come to an end. Ramadan is round the corner. We can still remember the last Ramadan we experienced. So days are moving rapidly. And that honeycomb, which he is busy enjoying the sweetness of, is dunya. Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, "I'mal li dunya." Make amal, practice, live in this world. Make an effort in this world. بِقَدْرِ مَقَامِكَ فِيهَا. For that duration of time that you are going to live in this world. وَعَمَلِ الْآخِرَةِ بِقَدْرِ بَقَائِكَ فِيهَا. And prepare and perform those deeds and practice and work and strive for the hereafter, for the duration of time that you are going to remain there. Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayh mentions very simply, and he gives very logical reasoning. And let us listen very attentively. He says, every human being has two tomorrows. All of us have two tomorrows. In Arabic, the word for tomorrow is ghadun. So we have a ghad, a tomorrow in this world, and we have a tomorrow of the hereafter. But then he says that the tomorrow of the hereafter is far superior to the tomorrow of this world. Why? The tomorrow of the hereafter is guaranteed. The tomorrow of this world is no guarantee. There's no guarantee for the tomorrow of this world. Nobody seated here with great conviction can claim that he will see tomorrow. Allah give us long life, Allah give us afiyat. But we do not know when maut will strike. And perhaps the person lives and sees the tomorrow in this world. He says then too, it gives him no guarantee that he will enjoy the bounties that he is blessed with in this world. He may live tomorrow, but perhaps some illness, some sickness overtakes him. He wakes up in the morning only to find that he is unable to see. He wakes up in the morning to be afflicted with a stroke. But the hereafter, there is no pain, there is no suffering, there is no disease, there is no ill health. It's only enjoyment, happiness, comfort. And then he says, okay, if a person happens to argument's sake, live tomorrow in this world, and he enjoys some bounties that Allah has bestowed upon him, but still, this life in this world is short-lived. And sometimes, while he's enjoying those bounties, there arises an occasion, an incident that takes place and spoils all the fun and enjoyment that he was enjoying. We go for a holiday, and everybody is relaxing and playing, and there's a bride taking place, and everybody, the whole family has gathered together, and suddenly he hears somebody screaming and crying, only to learn that your little grandchild or your son slipped and fell and he broke his leg. He's seriously wounded, severely injured, and now you've got to terminate that holiday, pack up everything and rush him to hospital. Has this not happened? Yazid bin Malik al-Umawi was a king. And perhaps we may have heard this incident before. That he was a king and he had no chain in his life. And this happens. We aspire to be a king of this world, thinking that we will enjoy the treasures that the king enjoys, and the beautiful mansions and palaces and all the army that he has. So one person desired, and he expressed his desire to one king. And he says, so lucky you are, that you have possession of so many things of this world, and you are enjoying yourself. The king doesn't say anything, but invites him for a meal. And as he's busy eating, suddenly this person sees up above him is a sword hanging on a thread. Obviously he becomes worried, apprehensive. He says, what is all this about? He says, this is our life. It may seem that we are enjoying things, but in reality it's like a sword above our head. The amount of pressure that we have to go through, the amount of problems that we have to see, there's always fear that we may be attacked by some enemy. So we live a life of apprehension and fear. So Yazid bin Malik, he says, I just want to have some aram, some comfort, just one day of my life. I want to enjoy some peace. So he tells all his men, please, any enemy may attack, don't disturb me. You must see to that enemy. And I don't want anybody to come and bother me. How we have the please do not disturb sign. That's what he literally did. He goes into his huge garden, locks it up, and he takes with him his wife. And now he is going to enjoy himself with the beautiful gentle breeze blowing and the stream that is running nearby. He takes a bunch of grapes. He begins to bite on those grapes. And then he places one, just one, into his wife's mouth. She bites onto this grape. And as she bites onto this grape, the juice of this grape oozes out. And a tiny little seed pops out into her gullet. And she begins to choke. And he sees the color of her face changing. She's now trying to alert him that she is choking. He sees this. He begins to pat her first gently on her back, but to no avail. Now he becomes worried. He's frantic. So he begins to patter harder and harder. But respected brothers and elders, the historians have written that she choked and this led to her death. Yazid became crazy. He became insane. He's shouting and screaming for help. He had forgotten that he had told every person outside, please do not disturb. Nobody could have come to his rescue. Finally, when he emerges from this garden of his, and everybody sees that his wife had passed away, Yazid bin Malik al-Umawi, not even 2 or 3 days after that, himself, he could not bear the pain, he also passes away. This is dunya. It is short-lived. We have no guarantee that the enjoyment that we are having, the bounties that we are enjoying, is going to be forever and ever. But the bounties of the hereafter, the castles, the palaces, the damsels, the fruit, the food, it is something that is going to be perpetual, never ending. It's never going to terminate. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly mentions in the Quran, the hereafter is khalidina fiha abada. Man will remain there perpetually. This is Allah says, inna wa'dallahi haqq. The promise of Allah is true. Allah does not go against His promise. When Allah has promised us this, Allah is faithful to His promise. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Therefore, do not become deluded and deceived by this goods of deception. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sleeping one day. As he stands up from this straw mat which he used as his bedding, we are talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His bedding was a mat, a straw mat. It left large imprints on his back. The sahabi says, Ya Rasulullah, if only you command us, we will provide for you a softer bedding. Nabsu talak. He says, no, no, why? There's no need for this. Mali walid dunya. What relationship do I have with this world? This ephemeral world. This transitory lounge. We're living in transit. The world is not going to be forever. So what relationship do I have with this world? He says, I am just like a rider that is going on this journey. And then this rider stops under a tree, takes some shade. ثُمَّ رَاحَ وَتَرَكَهَا. Then he leaves the tree behind and he departs, he continues his journey. Exactly like that is our condition in this world. Each one of us are musafirs. We all are travelers. We're all on this road towards the akhirat. Remember the story I gave in the beginning? The parent takes the child and throws the child up into the air. Child is in mid-air and then only falls back into the comfortable, soft hands of the parents. So we have come from Allah. We are in this world for a moment and we are going back to Allah. Therefore, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi say that this dunya is one moment. Why then not make this one moment in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let us spend this one moment we have of this worldly life compared to the hereafter. Like it is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah to illustrate this, the shortness of this world as compared to the akhirat. He says, like a person who takes his finger, dips it into the ocean, and when he pulls his finger out, that amount of water that comes onto his finger, that is equivalent to this world, and the huge and vast ocean is the life of the hereafter. He is traveling with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in in the marketplace, and suddenly he sees a dead baby goat, a kid, with very, very small, tiny ears. Remember, this goat is dead. It is smelling. Tiny ears. Rasulullah holds this goat by its ears and he says, who will purchase this from me for just a dirham? Just one rand.
Sahaba say, this is of no use to us. Even if it is given to us for free, it is dead. There is no benefit whatsoever. What are we going to do with this? Rasulullah says that this dunya is ahwan. The word ahwan in Arabic means it is more despicable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than this goat is to you. The creator of the world regards this dunya to be despicable. And therefore, Rasulullah mentioned, لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا تَعْدِرُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوضًا. If this entire world had to be equivalent to the wing of a mosquito, if that was the worth of this world, then Allah would not have given His enemies, Allah would not have given the disbelievers a sip of water to drink. But when Allah provides so much for every person, believer and non-believer, this shows that Allah has placed no value to this world. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala'an. Those of us who have studied Umar radiallahu ta'ala'an, his simplicity, the very hard life that he lived. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala'an visits Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a very lengthy incident. And when he stays around the room and he looks at the possessions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who? The greatest of all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. If he wished, Allah would transform the mountains of Uhud into gold for him. What do you think were his possessions? When Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu looked around, he sees a bag of wheat, he sees some leaves, a straw mat, a little water jug, a leather bag in which they would keep some water. And he begins to cry. Rasulullah looks at him, Yabn al-Khattab ma yubkik. O Umar, what makes you cry? He says, Ya Rasulullah, you are surfatun nas. You are khairun nas, the best of mankind, the most closest being to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is all that you possess? Whereas the kings of Persia and Rome, they have huge palaces. They have rivers that are flowing. They have so much of this dunya. And you only have this? Rasulullah replies, O Umar, should it not please you that for them is the dunya and for us is the akhirat? Should it not please you for them is the dunya and for us is the akhirat? Allah has chosen us. And Allah has created the hereafter Jannat for us. But like how Imam Razi rahmatullahi has explained, that this dunya is short-lived. Nobody has guaranteed he's going to enjoy all the enjoyments for the rest of his life in this world. No. A person has to leave this world. If we ponder and reflect, perhaps 40 years of our life have expired. Some more, 50, 60, 70. And if we just reflect and ponder, how did we spend these many years of our life? Was it in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the condition of our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The aqidah we have, We don't realize that we become influenced by many isms, many types of ideologies, many types of thoughts today, which are totally, totally contrary to the teachings of Quran and Hadith. And therefore it is imperative that we should check our aqidah. And we should have this firm belief and yaqeen and certitude in the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we should be proud followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
I mentioned Monday's talk that there are two things. One is rahat, comfort, and one is asbabi rahat, the means of acquiring that comfort. We have been beguiled. And we think that if a person attains the means of deriving comfort, then he has derived comfort. No. You can purchase an air conditioner. You can be living in a very, very beautiful room. You have all the means to give you that comfort, but you can still be living a life of misery and pain. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with happiness. May Allah remove the evil conditions that have befallen the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we, all of us, have to realize that we are not going to live in this world forever and ever. And we do not know when maut will strike. Therefore, it is only logical when Allah has mentioned, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى, that the hereafter is far better and it is everlasting. Therefore, we should be preparing for that abode. Time is running out. We have carried many janazas on our shoulder. Let us not procrastinate. There are many other incidents. Sa'id bin Amir al-Jumahi radiallahu ta'ala, a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I just want to illustrate to you what the Sahaba, what type of attachment they had for the dunya. Or rather, I would say, how they detached themselves from dunya. It did not affect them. Umar radiallahu ta'ala finds out from the people when he had sent Sa'id bin Amir al-Jumahi as the governor of Hims. He says, tell me, give me a list of your poor people. So amongst the list, amongst the names was Sa'id bin Amir. He says, who is this? This is our Amir, our leader. He says, Amirukum faqir? Is your Amir, your leader, a poor person? He says, yes. He hardly has any clothing, hardly eats any food. He's got no means to survive. Umar radiallahu anhu begins to cry and he sends him a whole bag of money. When this money comes with a note, and Umar radiallahu anhu, Sa'id bin Amir opens the note, he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. His wife sitting nearby hears him say, Inna lillah. Obviously she'll think somebody passed away. She says, what has happened? Amata Amirul Mu'mineen? Has Umar Amirul Mu'mineen passed away? He says, La. But a'zamu min dhalik, even more worse, even more severe. She says, have the Muslims been defeated in some battle and all of them have lost their lives? He says, no, even more severe. She says, what? What has happened? He says, will you assist me? Why? He says, dunya has come into my home to spoil my akhirat. Dunya has come into my home to spoil my akhirat. Still she does not understand what he's saying. But will you assist me? She says, no problem. You are my husband. Whatever you want. He takes out the coins from this bag and he gives it to her. And he says to her that now distribute this to all the poor people living in our vicinity. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, when he addressed dunya, what did he say? Ya safra, ya bayda, oh gold and silver, ghurri ghairi, deceive somebody else. You are trying to allure me? You have adorned yourself to entice me? No ways, I have given you 3 talaqs. Oh dunya, you're a very dangerous person. So many people you have led astray, you have misled. Dunya, do not try your luck with me. I have divorced you entirely. My respected brothers and elders, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the haqiq, the reality of this world. May Allah help us. We all are weak. Nobody is perfect. We will stand, we will fall, we will stumble, we will crawl, we will stand up again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our weaknesses. Even a poor person can still have love of dunya in his heart. It's not only the rich person, a wealthy person who has dunya in his heart. Dunya is not only the money that we possess, it's even the desire for fame and honor. lengthy subject on his own, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. My respected brothers and elders, we have heard this announcement now so regularly now in the past few weeks. We know that an ijtima is going to be taking place right here in Overport in Tills Crescent on the 15th, 16th, 17th of June. The ijtima starts on a Saturday. Saturday is Dhuhr time or before Dhuhr. Now again, a humble appeal is made to each one of us that let us go and spend some time in this ijtima. What will we hear? We will hear talks that will rekindle our iman. It will make us realize that this dunya is short-lived. It will make us realize that we have to prepare for the akhirat. It will make us realize what effort Rasulullah did for us. It will make us realize that we are an ummah, we are one body. We have many, many issues at hand. And we cannot address every issue. But let us sit together. And when we sit united, and we have one common goal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make all our work easy for us. And Allah will grant us, and Allah will guarantee us true success in this world, qabr and akhirah. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.